Hey everyone, welcome to episode 34 of the Geeky Ones podcast with myself, Steven, and Jude will be joining us in a little bit. Today we will be talking about our favorite Netflix shows and movies. So we're going to give you our recommendations of what to watch on Netflix Philippines. All right, so I guess we can wait for Jude because he's not here yet. Hold on. Let's see if we can share the stream to a bunch of people while we're waiting. If there's anything is there anything interesting on Netflix right now? Let's take a look at the website, shall we? I think I'm in the wrong browser here. Hold on. Netflix. It's crazy to think how we have so many streams now. We have Netflix, we have Disney Plus, we have Hulu, we have Amazon Prime, we have HBO Max, and so on and so forth. NBC is going to have a service called Peacock, which I think will include the Universal Library. I'm not sure. So that might include movies like Jurassic Park, among many others. What else? What else? We also have, well, there's Crunchyroll, but I think Crunchyroll is included with HBO Max in the US. I don't know if HBO Max will be coming here to Asia because it seems like they have a lot of licensing issues to go through. And I think it's the same for Disney Plus. Even Netflix encounters issues like that. So if we take a look right now, hold on, let me just try to find a share button for this. All right. So Jude is having some connectivity issues. We will try to. Hi, Dana. We will try to see if we can connect Jude back somehow. We're going to ask him to connect to his phone. What else is going on? Yeah. So streaming has just changed a lot of the ways we view programs. So what we used to do would be, well, we go to cable TV, get a cable package there or something, and then go from there. But somehow it hasn't, it like cable's kind of slowly fading away. But I wouldn't, like, it, like, to an extent, I would say that it's almost, cable is almost becoming an afterthought for me personally, because we have so many options to watch, to watch these programs, all these movies and TV shows, all from your computer, which is crazy because I don't think 20 years ago you could have easily said that, hey, 20 years from now, we're going to be able to watch sports, watch your favorite movie, watch that latest drama all on your computer. Cable was king, but now it's just changed with Netflix and all these streaming services. Although to an extent, I feel like these streaming services, if they become too much, I feel like we'd go back to the age of torrents. I'm not advocating illegal purchases or anything. I'm just saying that that was the likely option for a lot of people when there were region blocks. And now Disney Plus seems to be editing content out for certain stuff, like, how do I say this? Disney Plus has had a recently has had a tendency of editing stuff out from their movies. Looks like Jude is going to be a little late. What else? Where was I? I lost my train of thought. Oh man, hold on. Let's see if we can share it on Twitch, by the way. Let's see if this works. Hey there. Drop your comments below on what your Netflix recommendations are, by the way. It's crazy. So a friend of mine, Alex, recommended Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Community. It's great. I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Six seasons worth or more, I think, at this point. Like six. It's a crazy number of how long Brooklyn Nine-Nine has run. I never expected it to run this long. But I love the story of like just the entire story of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, of these cops in a day-to-day, like watching cops on a day-to-day basis. So Jude is trying to fix his laptop, connecting in a bit. So we're just waiting for Jude to connect. Let's see if it works on Twitch, because it's not working at the moment. Oh man. So we're gonna try to simulcast on Twitch and Facebook at the same time. While hey there, welcome. So we were just waiting for Jude because he seems to be having some connectivity issues.
Hello,
Oh,
okay.
did you see that? Ah.
There you go. Wait.
All right, so let's take a look at my Netflix page while we're waiting for Jude.
Oh, I'm here.
There is Jude. There you are,
Wait,
man.
wait.
How are you?
I'm fine. Laptop's not working properly, so
Hold on. I think you're fine. You're fine now.
yeah, wait. Okay,
You're
I'll
fine.
be share.
All right. So
While
let's
you
see.
go through your Netflix, I'll be sharing the podcast. So,
All
hi everyone, for
right.
those
Cool.
watching. I'll be just going around.
So I have Midnight Diner. I have SpongeBob. Disenchantment by Matt Groening, which is surprisingly good. I had low expectations for the series, but it's enjoyable.
Oh, I tried. I haven't watched that properly yet. I watched like the first few episodes. It's pretty fun. It has the signature Matt
Yeah.
Groening look, which is kind of fun.
Yeah. The overbite, yeah.
Yep, it's pretty hilarious. And it's a
Yeah.
nice take on, you usually see Matt Groening, it's almost always The Simpsons being mentioned. So
That's true. That's
It's
true.
pretty
But people
nice to
forget.
see
Yeah.
something
That's
different.
true. But I think people tend to forget about the likes of Futurama and other series. Futurama is like an underrated Simpsons to an extent.
Oh
Would
man,
you
Futurama.
say?
I didn't watch
Oh, I
enough of
think.
that,
Yeah.
but I really enjoyed it. I wish I remember it being canceled the first time. Was it canceled once?
Yeah. It was canceled like two or three times before finally ending properly.
It was sad, actually. But it had
Yeah,
some really
that's
good
true.
episodes. It had a few great moments, so it's really
That's
fun.
true. Like when when
Oh man,
Fry's dog Seymour, that ending scene was just sad. Because Seymour is, Fry's dog for the longest time. And then all of a sudden, when Fry disappears, Seymour would always still be just hoping that one day he'd come back, never does. And sadly, Seymour passed away from waiting for Fry because he was frozen. It was a sad series. Oh, Juno says, hi, Juno. Says, The Office is the best, of course.
course.
Very excellent series until Steve Carell
Well,
left.
it's really hard to replace a
That's
top
true.
guy. The original CSI had that problem.
Really, the original CSI?
Yeah, the CS just CSI. Remember they had Miami, New York, and they had that weird cyber, but they had to ch and the original CSI they had to change protagonists.
I think CSI, the original, like the CSI cyber thing, might have been too early for its age. Like, if you did a CSI cyber now, you could do it, I think. It would be a f interesting series, to be honest.
Yeah, but still,
my lighting is kind of weird right now. There we go. Let's place
it's all
here.
Good. It's 4 p.m. It's pretty sunny right now, and okay. Wait, have you started on your recommendations? I think it's gonna. We have to.
Not yet. I was talking about how streaming has kind of changed the way we've been watching programs now.
Oh yeah, considering because
it used to be Netflix, and now there's so many more programs out there.
There's Hulu, there's Amazon Prime, there's iFlix, there's so many streaming platforms. Even YouTube has some a premium platform where you can watch a few series.
That's true. The YouTube original, tama ba?
Yep, YouTube originals, and some channels have a few, like Bandai Namco. They put an anime series there. I haven't watched it though.
Really? I mean, I know we watch Gundam, right? We watch Gundam on YouTube.
Yeah, a few series are there, which is
like with
awesome.
The Build Divers.
Build Divers, the
like the whole build series, like episodes 1 to 50, mga ganun.
Yep. You actually get like a few full series. You have Gundam Wing there, which is remastered. Seed Destiny,
crazy.
Build Fighters Tri, Build Divers, all of the Build series that is complete. I think Iron Blooded Orphans is there, although that one's on Netflix, which is something we can talk about later. But yeah, I can say. Oh, do you have suggestions on anime?
Yeah, definitely for Kyoresu. Do you have suggestions on anime? I'd say
we have a few recommendations.
Food Wars,
Shokugeki no,
and My Hero Academia. Those are my picks.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely Shokugeki no Soma, because that anime, my goodness.
Yep, but we'll be recommending a few more later. But yeah, I can say, Steven, my streaming has been taking much of my screen time. Like if I'm not eating, I'm usually watching something on my phone or laptop. Like I'm watching it's either YouTube video live stream or a series or a movie, which is something that Netflix provides really well. So yeah, streaming is really good now. Yeah, although I can say that it takes up so much
for Hulu, Drake and Josh.
For Hulu. Oh man, Drake and Josh, yes, high quality.
That's true.
Yeah, imagine the
Have you heard about the series about Dan Schneider?
Oh man, yes, pretty wild.
Have you heard about those? Oh man, there's a reason why he's no longer on Nickelodeon.
Yes, there's a pretty
If you're still here.
There's a pretty good reason why he's no longer in Nickelodeon. Yeah. I remember me and my office mates are talking about that on work chat. Yes, out of all of the things we can talk about instead of work. Dan Schneider.
Great. It was a crazy, crazy stuff. Anyway, where were we?
But yeah, we're talking about streaming. But yeah, so streaming is so accessible right now. You can actually use your, for example, your Netflix. You can use it on your phone or laptop, and you can switch it. Switch it up seamlessly, and you can even use it on PS4, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's true. Almost any device. And then some streaming services don't necessarily have that same. What do you call that? The same ability to do, multiple apps. I noticed that a lot of not all Asian, but like usually Japanese apps for some reason don't have that ability to do it. New Japan World does not have a proper app. Yeah. It's very strange how for a company that's trying to be so modern in everything, you don't have an app for PS4, which is a Japanese product as well. You would think they'd find a way each other to like have a proper app on PS4, but you don't. It's crazy. Like you don't even have a proper one on iPad or your phone. It's probably the one thing that's hindering New Japan World from like, getting bigger. But that's just one example of like an app that's not trying to change too much.
Yeah, I really wish New Japan World would have a proper app that's, you know, an actual streaming service.
Yeah, because like now you just open a window for it, you know?
It's basically a media player.
Just open. Yes, it's a media player that's just like, they just use whatever media players on your phone.
It basically, it's just, the app basically just unlocks the function that, you know, makes you, that allows you to view the, view live matches or record or matches that have been finished. So it's just weird. I wish they had better app, but I think that would take a few years. But for now, it's still a pretty solid service, I can say.
Yeah, I think so. It's still a very solid like service. It's
sometimes tricky to find matches, but it's really good.
Yeah.
I've been trying to find Milano collection matches, but it's so hard because Milano is like tagged in every New Japan event because he's the commentator. So like, oh man.
Yeah, that's true.
I have to go to like it's a really few hundred pages of New Japan content. But yeah, so yeah, streaming is pretty much so accessible today. Like if you don't have, if you're not subscribed to a streaming platform, it's a bit weird. because if even Spotify is a streaming platform in of itself, you know,
you're listening
to music, you're listening to podcasts, you're listening to our podcast there if ever. But yeah, I think that's it for when, you know, talking about streaming, because you know streaming has been so big right now. Like it's basically what cable television is before, like, you know,
what used to be. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, what it used to be. So now we're just, it's so easy to watch shows, and now you can watch a whole season without stopping, which is the best thing sometimes.
It's insane, you know. Like my dad just finished watching Narcos. Well, he finished it like early into the quarantine, and he kind of went on a streak. He was like watching Narcos, like Breaking Bad, and Money Heist. He just went all out, you know. He just went all out with these streamings. He just went all out. What else? I guess we could start with your recommendations, yeah? I mean, there's not much else to talk about. I mean, there is the New Japan Cup and Dominion, which was crazy, but
yeah,
that we'll event left Netflix. Me speechless. Yeah,
but for now, we'll talk Netflix. About Netflix. Okay, I think I can start with my recommendation. First recommendation. So we have 7 each, and if we actually finish this quick, we can add a few things. But for now, my first recommendation is an anime recommendation. So for Kiyo, who was asking, do you have suggestions on anime? My recommendation, I only picked one anime. It's Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, which is on Netflix.
Ooh, nice. Sorry, honestly, I'm just making my list right now.
Yes, it's one of the best anime series I've watched, and it's one of the best. It's an all-time. It's an all-time great show. It's 80 episodes, but you wouldn't feel. You know, it's a classic 80. Long. It's a classic long-form anime show, but it's really good. Like, I can compare the journey to something like watching the Lord of the Rings trilogy. You know, it's that. It's that emotional. Oh. It's that heavy, and it's also that rewarding. Like. Watching Edward and Alphonse Eric, you know, their quest was to find the Philosopher's Stone, you know, get parts of their bodies back after a failed alchemy. Attempt on alchemy. And then, you know, the story just branches off, you know, just branches off to a very wide conflict, you know. It's just, you know, the cast of characters is just so colorful. The villains are just so striking. They have great appeal. Mm-hmm. It's just a great story. It's an anime that I'd recommend. Although the Full Metal Alchemist anime is also there, not Brotherhood. The first attempt on the anime is there. Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood is exactly like almost exactly as based on the manga.
Oh, nice.
So it's almost like a one-to-one adaptation of the manga. Right. So Yeah, it's a really good 80 episode anime. If you haven't watched it, I recommend you do, because it's something that's that trust me that I'll say that, you know, you can trust me when I say that it's really worth your time. It's something that would make you laugh, would make you cry a lot, maybe, because it's a really emotional journey. There are a few moments where, you know, it just feels heavy, and you can actually see, the best part is that you can actually see the characters growing physically in the show.
Oh, cool. That's rare for anime.
And, you know, it progresses so well. The pacing of the story is just so well made. It doesn't need a time skip, because you can see time passing by. You can feel time passing by. And, you know, and it just gets, the story just gets bigger and bigger until, you know, the ending is just magic. It's just one of the best, one of the most powerful endings you can get on an anime. Like, there are many anime that just are really good until the ending. Like, the ending, you know, people hate endings, honestly. Like, if you notice, like, a lot of people don't like how a lot of series end, because, you know, because even people who made the show have a problem. But Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood doesn't suffer from that. It starts and ends really well. It's a well-executed story. And if you're looking for an anime, a best place to start on your anime binge-watching on Netflix, Full Metal Alchemist would be a great start.
Cool. All right. As for me, my first recommendation would be Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga.
Oh, man.
It just came out last month. Did it come out last month or early this month?
Yeah.
It feels like an eternity.
Late last month. Late June.
Yeah, late June. So it's basically about two Icelandic singers who want to go to Eurovision. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, okay.
I wasn't expecting much from the movie. I honestly wasn't expecting much from the movie, but I was surprised that the songs were really high quality. Considering this is a Will Ferrell comedy movie, I thought, oh, it's just going to be whatever. And then it ended up being like Dewey Cox, sort of, wherein, you know, it's a joke song, but the joke songs are so good, it can be legitimate songs.
Yeah, okay. One thing about Fire Saga, since it's also on my list, it was supposed to be released earlier this May, to coincide with the Eurovision Song Contest, the 2020 Eurovision Song Contest. But what happened is that, that's a spoiler comment. Sorry, Kiyo, we can't show that one.
It's been a meme for like 20 years now.
Yeah, but for 10 years. But yeah, Fire Saga was supposed to be a movie tie into the Eurovision Song Contest, you know, because the Eurovision Song Contest is one of the most interesting and fascinating song competitions in the world. It's a really weird competition. Yeah. It's so campy. It's so cheesy. The song themes are so out of this world. Sometimes it's so crazy. It's like, you know, Europe unhinged when you see the Eurovision Song Contest. It's just so weird. You know, sometimes it feels like anything goes. Whatever ridiculous idea you can throw in a song contest, you can to put it in Eurovision and you can have a chance of winning. But unfortunately, Eurovision 2020 can't happen because of the state that we're in, because we're all in quarantine. So live events are canceled, and you know, they had to delay Fire Saga, but you know, fortunately it's released now, and I can say it's a movie I enjoyed a lot, because it had the spirit of Eurovision. It had that really weird, awkward, cringy vibe that Eurovision has. It's campy.
So it's almost like Batman West's Adam West's Batman, yeah?
Yeah.
From your perspective as a former musician, are you a former musician, or would you say still a musician?
Former. Okay, I used to play guitar.
Okay, as a former musician, yeah.
Yeah, okay, wait.
As a former musician, yeah.
The songs are really great. I think I think they got a bit of help from Eurovision songwriters because the songs are really Eurovision. Like, you know, the Russian guy in Fire Saga, I can't remember his name. That song.
He's the Beast. He's the Beast from, I know, he's the Beast from Beauty and the Beast with Emma Watson.
Yeah, okay. That song is so Eurovision. That one encapsulates what a Eurovision song is, even the presentation.
So you follow Eurovision a lot since like the beginning? I mean, since
not
you've been...
Not really. I was fascinated with Eurovision because it was so ridiculous. Like, the songs are just crazy. Like, it's a song contest that's meme-worthy every time.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's really, really fun. So... You get a lot of entries from countries, like, from a lot of European countries. You know, ABBA won, like, you know, like in the movie, they were inspired by ABBA winning Eurovision. Celine Dion was in Eurovision, so like,
she's Canadian, that's what I don't get. Like, she was Canadian, but she won Eurovision.
Switzerland. It's weird. I don't get it. But, you know, Australia was in Eurovision at one point. So, you know, it's weird. For people who are not used to, for a lot of, like, in America, they're not used to watching Eurovision. It's hard to understand at first. But, you know, that's the charm of Eurovision. It's campy. It's weird. It's ridiculous. It's over the top. And, you know, and people love it. Because it is the way it is, you know. It's not a masterpiece. They don't create masterpiece music in general. But it's music that's catchy, poppy, and it's so fun. It's just fun. It's a fun music competition that, you know, it has won the hearts of people around the world. Honestly, it's like, yeah, it's something that, you know, you look forward to, despite, you know, how you already know how ridiculous it already is, but. About the movie, yeah, it feels like a real Will Ferrell sports movie sometimes. It feels like Talladega Nights, but in Eurovision mode. But yeah, for me, that's
so. So what is your next recommendation?
Okay,
your second
for my next recommendation, it's a series. The series that recently finished. It's not yet finished on Netflix, so. You might have to wait the last season, but it's The Good Place. My recommendation is The Good Place.
Nice.
So it's a comedy. It's basically a comedy that stars Kristen Bell, who actually dies. Who dies, goes to the afterlife, and is a troublemaker on Earth. But for some reason, she's in The Good Place, which is sort of a heaven. And, you know, it follows her journey through the afterlife, you know, wonders why she's there despite her wrongdoings. It starts off as that, but it gets deeper, more emotional. I really can't spoil it too much because if I explain it too much, the surprise of much of the story would be gone. But it's a series about, you know, what do you do after the afterlife? Like, it questions, like, did all of the actions you did while you're living worth it? Like, did you really spend much of your time doing good? Did you spend much of your time living out your life in the best way possible? It's really, and it also teaches you, like, the value of empathy, the power of empathy, and, you know, compassion. Like, it's a very human series. Like, it has funny moments, but it's like it just hits. It's a series with a lot of heart. It's a really good show, and the cast of characters are really awesome. Like, you know, it's just really fun. It's a really fun
That's
series.
Some big
you know, Kristen Bell is really Kristen Bell is always a fun. Always has some fun roles. You know. She's a star of a few comedies, and, you know, she's Princess Anna. She's Princess Anna in Frozen. If you guys
That's
are wondering,
true.
It's really weird.
That's right.
She's also Veronica Mars. So, which, you know, from one good series to another, which is great.
Oh man, that was such a big, like, during when Veronica Mars was out. I think it was around the same time as Gossip Girl. So it was one of those like early to mid 2000s teen series that was so popular at the time.
Yeah, there were so many actually. If you'd be surprised, like, oh man,
the OC, like,
yeah, we should be talking about that in a separate episode because there's just so much to talk about in that era of series. House is my favorite series of that era, by the way. But yeah, okay, I can tell you. I'll just conclude. The Good Place is a great show. Three seasons of the show are already on Netflix. I'm not sure when is the last season going on Netflix, but watching it is just a rewarding experience. You know, it's just a series with so much heart. Like, you can't it's hard to beat. Like, it's funny. It's one of the most heartwarming shows, feel good shows that you can watch on Netflix.
Mm.
Okay, let's go to your recommendation, Steven.
All right, my next recommendation is a movie that just came out this month called A Whisker Away by Studio Colorido. Studio Colorido was popular for making that McDonald's Tokyo 2020 Olympics commercial with the female student looking for a job, because I think she was in between jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we could probably add a link to the episode later on, to the video. But that animation style was applied in the movie called A Whisker Away, which was about this girl who has a crush on this guy, but she transforms into a cat to hang out with the guy. It's very, you know, I know it sounds weird, but it's very Japanese. Very odd concept that finds like an emotional hook. You know, you realize that, you know, I don't want to spoil too much because the movie just came out. But emotionally, I would compare this almost to Your Name, Kimi no Nawa. But I wasn't a fan of Kimi no Nawa's like time paradox plot. It was a bit confusing because the pacing was all over the place. If we're talking about pacing, A Whisker Away is much better in terms of pacing. Both movies have that attempt on Studio Ghibli quality, but of course, we all know Studio Ghibli is like the top of the top of anime movies. Anyway, my point is, A Whisker Away is not the perfect movie, but it's a very enjoyable one. That's all what I can say about the movie. It has a better pacing than Your Name. So that's a big deal for me because I was so confused by Your Name. Emotionally, yes, Your Name was really good. But as a whole, I enjoyed A Whisker Away because it was a very simple movie. Not too many characters. It was, they had just enough characters to explain everything. But there's this one scene, I'm not going to spoil what it is, but there's this one scene that is very reminiscent of a Studio Ghibli movie. It captures that spirit of a Studio Ghibli movie, but it's not necessarily totally like a Studio Ghibli movie. So it stands out for its plot and pacing, but it's more like a love letter to Studio Ghibli than a love letter to Studio Ghibli. I don't know how to say anything without spoiling anything. Basically, watch A Whisker Away. It's really good.
Okay.
Dude, your recommendation number three.
Yeah, okay. That's our second anime recommendation. So that's pretty nice. Okay. My next recommendation is a Netflix original series. It's a sci-fi series. My next two recommendations are actually Netflix originals that are kind of on the sci-fi route. So,
yeah.
Okay, the other one is Altered Carbon. So basically, it's a cyberpunk series. So cyberpunk series where the main character Takeshi Kovacs is just a guy who was who just got reborn somewhat.
Yeah.
Reanimated after a few hundred years after a war. So, you know, he's basically, you know, going back. The story of Altered Carbon is that in the future, when you die, you don't die. You only die if you die. When you die, your memories are stuck in a stack. Like it's like it's kind of like a small disk. It's kind of like a disk/USB thing where it's on the back of your head. If it breaks, you're really dead. But if it doesn't break, you can go back and you can re-sleeve. You can go back. They call the body sleeve. So basically, you can go back to another body. So the story of that is Takeshi Kovacs is a really special character in the universe where, you know, he was part of a war against those stacks, against the concept of immortality that you can get with, you know, transferring your consciousness to another body. So basically, he's on a quest to revisit his past, find out what happened to certain people, and even help a few people in protecting a few VIPs. It's on season two. One of the things about Altered Carbon is that the protagonist for season one and two changed, because remember, they can change bodies.
Mm-hmm.
One thing to note, for season two, the protagonist is Anthony Mackie.
Ah, nice.
So, yeah, he's basically, he took the role of Takeshi Kovacs, you know, Falcon taking another leading role, taking a leading role in the series before Captain America and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Which is pretty nice. It's a pretty nice change of pace. So, but yeah, if you're excited for like Cyberpunk 2077 or a fan of shows like Blade Runner, you're gonna like Altered Carbon. What?
There's a Blade Runner show coming?
Yeah. No, Blade Runner, the movie. If you're a fan of Blade Runner, the movie and Blade Runner 2049, you're pretty much at home watching this, because it captures that same atmosphere where, you know, a sci-fi world, a crowded sci-fi world where, you know, it's just all industrial, bleak atmosphere that, you know, it's pretty exciting. It's a pretty great show. So, yeah, that's my recommendation. So I think we can go to your third recommendation, Stephen.
Okay, my third recommendation is BoJack Horseman.
Ooh, interesting.
How do I say this without getting too real? BoJack Horseman is a reflection of us as people. Mm-hmm. Like how we are when we're jobless, when we're, you know, when we're trying to like face our fears, our anxieties in life. That's basically BoJack Horseman. How do I say this? Because it's a really depressing show because it hits so hard, and like it even if all the characters are animals and like half of them are animals, half of them are humans, it doesn't take away from the fact that they really talk about real issues like losing a loved one, drug addiction, alcoholism, you know, all of these things that a lot of people encounter in day-to-day life, and it doesn't just disappear for a lot of people. It's big. I love BoJack Horseman because it, oh man, how do I describe this? I love BoJack Horseman because it hits so hard in reality. It gives you a dose of reality in the form of a cartoon. That's pretty much all I could say. Hold on, I'll be back. I just have to do something. So
okay,
your recommendations first.
Okay, so I've been meaning to watch BoJack Horseman, though. But yeah, so for my fourth recommendation, while Steven is away, what is it? Oh, it's another Netflix series. So it's Dark. So if you're not a fan of cyberpunk atmosphere like Dark, you might be a fan of a sci-fi thriller like... Dark. It's a German show. So if you're not used to hearing German in a series, you know, this is a nice way to start. So Dark is a story about a town. Dark is a series about a town with a weird history of people getting missing. And the thing is there's a it's a repeating the thing is it's a repeating cycle. So that plot gets deeper, it's not just about missing people, it's about a cycle of events that keep on happening and happening all in the same town with much of the same people being involved. And it's a really mind-bending series, it's a really time-bending series. So there's so many things that really are interesting and fascinating and dark. Like it's so different from other shows. Like it takes time travel and science fiction a bit more differently. And it also tackles like the nostalgia that we encounter in a lot of shows. It turns it on its head. Like nostalgia is supposed to make us feel happy, make us feel relaxed, but here nostalgia is used to convey an era, to remind people of an older era where certain bad events happen. So Kiyo has a comment. So I remember getting emotional for an animation as well. So yeah, I can say we do get emotional in we do get emotional in a lot of shows. We do get emotional in so many things. And yeah, BoJack Horseman is a series I've yet to watch, but I know it hits hard. I remember watching a Gundam moment where I got really emotional, so I can relate to that. Really powerful moment. So yeah, for Dark, it's 3 seasons. It just recently finished. The last season released in June, so you can watch it in its entirety straight away. Although I recommend watching it taking breaks in between because each episode is pretty heavy. It's like watching like almost an hour, 1 hour each, which is I know a lot of people can watch on hours and hours of episodes, but it's a Dark is pretty heavy each episode. Like you really have to bend your head around a bit, move your think a bit after each episode to get the story straight, to get oh so to link each character to how they relate to the bigger plot of the story. Okay, so yeah, okay, I think Steven is not yet here. I'll keep on going. So another recommendation I have is a movie, a local movie, a Filipino movie, which is Ang Pangarap Kong Hold Up, which is one of the best one of the best series and one of the best local movies you can watch right now on Netflix, and it's one of the funniest movies you can watch on Netflix as well. It's a great comedy. It's a really fun watch. It's a feel good movie about hold uppers trying to get the biggest score of their life. Trying to prove that they can be the master thieves that they are. And in the end, they chase all the characters. It's a one big MacGuffin chase that's just so funny, ridiculous, and gets pretty dark. It gets pretty emotional and dark at the end. But in the end, it's an all good fun, feel good movie. And if you're a fan, if you're looking for a nice Filipino comedy film that you can get on Netflix, you can go Ang Pangarap Kong Hold Up. You can't go wrong with it. And yeah, it's just a really fun movie. The cast is just so colorful. It's just really fun. Each cat it's a well-paced movie. Does it overstay its welcome? It's a comedy film that had at times its jokes really well. It just hits really great. And it's a really fun show. And if you're a fan of eating isaw, be sure you eat some before watching because you're gonna get real hungry when watching that film. But yeah, it's a really great film. I recommend that you watch it. among the local recommendation. This is probably my only local recommendations. I might have a few honorable mentions later. And yeah, oh, let's go, Key. Oh, Kyo, nice. You have another comment. Oh, Black Mirror. Yes, Black Mirror is another series. I'm not sure if it's in Steven's recommendations. It's not on mine, but I can tell you, Black Mirror is a really great show that, you know, that has a lot of story. Has a lot of story. Like each episode, you can watch each episode alone. You know, it's no episodes are really linked to each other, although there are a few episodes that shout out to previous episodes. You can watch each episode of Black Mirror individually and feel like you've watched a film. It's really, each episode has a certain story, has a certain theme to tell. Like it's a really weird series. You know, it sometimes has elements of sci-fi, thriller, suspense, politics. Like it's just like it's a mind-bending show. It's kind of like a modern day Twilight Zone, a new version of the Twilight Zone. And oh, hi, Steven.
Hi. Sorry, you were talking about Black Mirror, yeah?
Yes, so
Yeah.
I'm on my 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth recommendation. But I'm
Okay.
talking about Black Mirror because Kyo commented. So,
Yeah.
my fourth recommendation was Ang Pangarap Kong Hold Up. So,
Oh, yes, maganda
I watched it before I slept, and it was just worth the adventure. It was a really great film. As I was saying, yeah, it was just a movie that doesn't overstay its welcome. It's a really great comedy that
yun.
each joke just feels so, it's just so funny. It's probably the craziest MacGuffin chase you could watch right now. It's a really great film.
It really goes to show how underrated indie films are in the Philippines. Kasi pag tumingin tayo sa indie films, most people will say it's highbrow and artsy and stuff. But then you have Pangarap Kong Hold Up, which also features like a little bit of Redrick Mahaba from PWR, if you
Yes,
spy,
shout
if
out.
you look
Hi.
carefully. Yeah. And then like, it's a very it's an underrated movie. I was
It's a
glad to
movie that
see.
puts a smile to my face. It's really
Yeah,
great.
in diba naging number one siya sa Netflix for a while. So it
Yep.
just shows that if you give the people the platform to showcase the movie, lalabas yun eh. It can work. I mean, not it doesn't always work, but you know, I mean now it's nice to see how almost for the past 2, 3 weeks, puro mga Filipino indie movie yung mga number one. Like ngayon it's Through Night and Day with Paolo Contis, who was also in Pangarap Kong Hold Up, and Alessandro De
He's
Rossi.
having a great time.
Yeah, for
Paolo Contis
sure.
is having a great time.
Sorry. And then your next recommendation was what's number five? You
Wait,
there, Jude? Ah, okay.
wait, wait, wait. I'm just messaging something. Okay.
Say hello to
So,
Izzy Foz, by the way.
oh, hello there. Yes, hello. Just in time. So we're kind of halfway. So
Yeah.
Steven, since I had two recommendations, I think you can go with two of your recommendations since
Okay.
while you're away.
So two of my recommendations, F1 Drive to Survive and Tuca and Bertie.
Ooh,
F1 Drive to
F1.
Survive. Yeah, it really changed the way I viewed Formula One because it was always so close. And like you never really saw the behind the scenes of F1 until like this. Like, yeah, you'd see like, oh, here's the engineer, this is what he do. Here's like the chief, tama ba? Is that what they call it? I'm not too familiar with F1 eh, pero parang is that like the chief of the team? Ganun. See, and si Christian Horner sa Mercedes ba or Red Bull? I can't remember. You're the F1 fan, like you're the one who could probably explain this better than I can.
Wait, wait, wait. What was your question? I didn't. It's kind
Who's
of black.
like they we get to know more about like the different people involved with F1, like Christian Horner, like
Yeah,
what team
okay.
is he on?
I'm not familiar. I need to redo my F1 knowledge. I need to restock my F1 knowledge right now. But yeah, Drive to Survive is a great documentary. How wait, wait, wait. How
Oh,
many
Christian Horner is
seasons
the
is it?
principal of Red Bull.
It's only two seasons.
Wait, how many? Two seasons. The last season was, what seasons did they cover of F1?
Last season was the 2018 season, and then okay. This season it's the 2019 season.
Oh, nice. Okay, just in time.
Yeah. I don't know if they're gonna have a 2020 edition though, considering the stuff that has happened.
Considering their circumstances, but I think it would work.
Yeah, hopefully, because I don't know like how you're gonna have the crew follow them the whole time, you know. Yin lang.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, Drive to Survive. By the way, F1 just is recently on, right?
They came back. With like no audience, very limited crew, like basically just the teams. So like that's a lot of COVID testing.
And you know, people are having. There's controversy surrounding Racing Point and why their cars are good, but you know that's F1 for you. F1 is kind of bad.
There's always a controversy. Like there's no F1 without controversy, basically.
Yeah, but Drive to Survive is a nice in-depth look at F1, you know. You don't really see too many sports leagues going in depth with each of their teams, and
like, considering they've gone almost like behind closed doors, diba? It's been that deep into an F1 team, which is so rare. I love it. Sorry, you were saying Jude, sorry.
Wait. But yeah, it's really that in-depth. I kind of like it that way. I wish more sports leagues would do that, but I don't think they would allow all teams because sometimes you only get one team being allowed to do documentaries on about them. But
I think
something like maybe like you know you want to see more of leagues like the Premier League, the Liga football. You want to see more of how they look. You want to see NBA has a lot of documentaries, which is nice.
True, but it's like per team, lang, diba? They very rarely
it's
do
per
like
team.
The entire
it's
league
per player.
Per
so but like it's that way. So you go to your next, Steven. What's your next?
All right, my next recommendation is Tuca and Bertie. It was created by... Sorry, I have to check it again. Because it's connected to BoJack Horseman, sort of. Created by cartoonist Lisa Hanawalt, who I think she worked on... she worked on BoJack Horseman. Yeah, she was a production designer and a producer on BoJack Horseman. And she made a series called Tuca and Bertie, which is a lot crazier than BoJack Horseman. And I think it's like 100, if Nisha 100%, it has the same concept of BoJack Horseman where you mix humans in a world with animals as well. It was on Netflix before, but then it was canceled after one season. It took a while to get its footing in terms of comedic timing and storytelling. It took around maybe half of the series, but the problem was the series only had 10 episodes. So the first season really hit hard by episode 7 or 8, I think, or by 9, wherein you start to talk about, like, I'm not a woman, so I can't, like, fully explain the concept of, you know, these abusive men, you know, taking advantage of little girls and, like, crazy stuff. So, you know, they explain it much better than I would ever be able to explain it. But they do take, like, you would think at first it's just some crazy, crazy drama. Kind of like, you know, kind of like BoJack Horseman at first. But, like, as the series goes deeper and deeper, you really start to encounter, like, really serious issues that, you know, we as guys probably don't encounter as much, you know? So, like, you know, sexual harassment and other things. So, I would recommend this for the zaniness and at the same time the serious issues that they talk about. It's like BoJack Horseman plus a little sprinkle of more insanity. That's what I would say about Tuca and Bertie. And that is my fifth recommendation. Let's go to your recommendation 6, Jude.
Recommendation 6. Okay. Okay. Now, speaking of sports documentaries, put one here, you know, being a Chicago Bulls fan, I really enjoyed The Last Dance, and it released in June. Each week, I was so happy to wait for each for two episodes per week. It was just so good. So The Last Dance is about Michael Jordan's final season with the Chicago Bulls, but you know, the series itself goes in depth with much of his career, basically his whole career, like. Talks about how he got started in North Carolina all the way to his last shot in Chicago.
Wow.
Nice. You know, the documentary acts like, you know, him going to the Washington Wizards never happened, which is great.
I mean, would you say this whole thing was like an ego trip for Jordan, though?
Well, it's going to be a bias. It's going to be a heavily biased piece on Michael Jordan from the get-go. So it's going to be pretty hard to swallow if you're not a fan of Chicago, the Chicago Bulls or Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
So
like if you had to experience the heartbreak, man.
Yeah, it's heavily biased, especially if you're a Utah Jazz fan. You're not going to like this. But yeah, if you're like a fan of any team that Michael Jordan beat, you're not going to enjoy this. But yeah, it's heavily biased, of course. It's Michael Jordan being presented as the ultimate competitor,
yeah,
and sometimes a bit of a headache for a lot of his teammates. But that's Michael. But yeah, it shows you his you know, his mentality, you know, his competitive mentality, his winning drive,
yeah,
how he motivates his teammates, you know, and it also looks into a lot of his teammates too, Phil and his coach Phil Jackson, you know, talks about Scottie Pippen, like. You know, their experiences with Michael Jordan and you know, a lot of, and they even show a lot of some of the most memorable moments in their games. It's really, it's really fun. It's a great series. It's 10 episodes. Yes, yeah. Steven, what were you going to ask?
How do I say this properly? I kind of lost my train of thought. Did you have to lower the bass when Scottie Pippen was talking?
Oh man, no, not really. But yeah, he has a really deep voice.
When I was playing with Michael
Jordan. When
I was playing with Michael,
his voice is really memorable though.
So I was watching that with my dad, and like the bass was so loud. Like, wow, that bass is heavy. It's like you really have to like adjust the bass if you're like using like an equalizer or something on your Netflix. It's just crazy low. Crazy, like, wow. The bass. Anyway, sorry, you were saying, Jude.
But yeah, speaking of voices, Michael Jordan has a really distinct voice that I really always remember. Even Dennis Rodman, like, his kind of raspy tone is really crazy. And, you know, it also has a bit of wrestling there, Steven. The Last Dance.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that scene. It's crazy because, remember,
Carl Malone and Dennis Rodman. Yeah.
Phil Jackson did not approve of Dennis Rodman appearing on Nitro. It's like, what the heck, man?
But
like,
he just did.
And then he got, like, they got fined for that. Because Phil Jackson said, we didn't know. So, like, the NBA fined them for that. Crazy. Oh, what a crazy, crazy series. And the thing in the US, it's not even on Netflix. It's on ESPN Plus. Yeah, so like,
either way,
another streaming service.
Yeah, either way, it's really one of the best sports documentaries you can watch on Netflix. It's a really in-depth documentary. It almost didn't get released. So if you're, for those who are wondering, it almost didn't get released. Like, until when Jordan approved it in 2016. So you imagine imagine we wouldn't have seen those footage forever. It would have been
we wouldn't
inside.
Have,
you would have to be an NBA employee to see those videos.
Pretty much. And I mean, like, we wouldn't have found out that the flu game was actually the food poisoning game, things like that. You know. But I mean, it might change the narrative. Like, imagine more if this documentary came out, like, I don't know. Let's say this much content was released when Michael Jordan was doing this in the 90s. Let's say The Last Dance came out in the 90s. Do you think people's perception of Michael Jordan would have changed?
I think it would a bit, like it would change their perception to see, you know, Michael Jordan as a very aggressive competitor, you know, sometimes really a mean guy sometimes, like if you see in this documentary, you know, he's a guy that would just stomp the competition, even his teammates. He would just get to everyone, you know, go to everyone that gets in his way kind of guy. So yeah, I think it would change some of the perception of how people see Michael Jordan. But I think a lot of people already had an idea of what Michael Jordan is back then in the 90s. Like his image kind of changed maybe in the 2000s, you know, where younger people mostly see just Michael Jordan's highlights as a player rather than Michael Jordan as a player himself, which is kind of good. So I think The Last Dance really is like a retelling to the younger generation of who Michael Jordan is and what he means to basketball as a whole. So yeah,
All
that's my
right.
recommendation. I think you can go with yours next one.
Okay, my number six, recommendation number six is Midnight Diner. It's a Japanese series about food. How do I say it? It's a very basic premise. It's an almost like an anthology series with like one or two consistent characters throughout the series. It's a like this midnight, again, it's a literal midnight diner with this
Midnight
guy.
Diner.
They call him Master, and he cooks anything that he has in the shop. So let's say, oh, I want yakitori or something like that. As long as he has chicken or something like that, he'll make yakitori. And if not, you know, the customer will bring the ingredients to him, and then he'll make whatever food is wanted. All of these food stories rotate around like some reason as to why that person would always want the food. So each episode has one specific type of food. Like there was this one called yakisoba hot dog, which is literally just yakisoba in a hot dog bun. And then it's explained that, oh, this guy loves yakisoba hot dogs because there's a whole backstory to it. So like every episode is like that. It's very repetitive, but I enjoy the series because of the food. Because it looks really, really good. Like the food is really, really good. Mouth-watering good.
Basically, food
That's
porn in anime.
No, it's not anime though. It's live action.
Food porn. Yes, it's
Yeah, it's
really
like
good.
live action Japanese. It's like a live action Japanese drama. That's basically Midnight Diner. They have two versions of the series on Netflix, Tokyo Stories and just regular Midnight Diner.
Really just sounds interesting. Now, I would like to watch that soon, but I have a lot of backlogs. We'll talk about that later. So that's your recommendation now. Okay, let's talk about my next one. Ooh, next one is something close to our interest, even.
What is
It's
it?
a series about wrestling. It's GLOW.
Oh yeah, Glow. I've heard good things about that.
So it's a series that's based on the actual GLOW wrestling brand, which is the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. So it talks about oh my God, I can't remember. It talks about Root, the main character named Root. I can't remember her last name. Wait, come on. What's her name? Because the last season is taking too long. I need to recap on my. So basically, it's Addison Rae as Root Wilder, who's a struggling actress trying to find a big break, and she's finds a big break in wrestling, and you know she becomes a pioneering face in GLOW, which is a wrestling brand for women trying, you know, a women's wrestling promotion trying to set itself apart from other wrestling promotions in the 80s, and you know, trying to carve up an identity and grow a fan base, become a big wrestling promotion just like the AWA, NWA, and WWF back then. And it's a really great show for wrestling fans because there's so many wrestling cameos. Hell, even Awesome Kong Karma is one of the main cast there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Kia Stevens, which is, and I can tell you, she's a great actress. And it, of course, being a wrestler, it comes naturally to her,
And I think
and it's really great.
Chavo Guerrero is the trainer
Yes, he's the
ng
head trainer
show.
in the show. It's really good. That's why you can see that much of the wrestling moves are really well done, especially in season two doesn't have much as wrestling moves, but you can see how well executed. There's a lot of cameos too. There's Carlito is there.
What?
Yes, John Morrison
Carlito.
is there.
Oh yeah, John Morrison, of course. He has like acting
Yes.
aspirations to that.
There's so many. It's a really good series. It's really it hits emotional. It's not just about wrestling, it's about finding your identity. Most of the characters are like just struggling, living, trying to live by, make their job as wrestlers, professional wrestlers work. And you get to know more about their background, their struggles, their emotion, their emotional and mental struggles. It's really great. It's a really great show, and I can't wait for the last season, which is, I know, gonna be I really hope to be a great ending to a really solid show in general. It's a really great, it's a really well-received show. It's really fun. You can just it's really enjoyable. And if you want a series that feels very 80s, that's set in the 80s and about wrestling, it's this one. Okay, ne your next recommendation, Stephen.
I ran out. I didn't think we'd actually reach all seven. So I guess it's the last one for now. Yeah, I mean, we've done like seven now, so that's really, I didn't expect we'd hit. I would probably say for number seven, oh man, I already said My Hero Academia and Food Wars, Shokugeki no Soma. Number seven, wow, this is hard. Number seven, what would it be? Can't think of a movie at the moment. Wow. I seriously didn't think we'd hit seven, so I'm kind of like lost right now. I've done BoJack. Have I said Disenchantment yet? Or not yet? Oh, yeah, I have not included Disenchantment yet, but Disenchantment has a very interesting plot. It's like Simpsons comedy with a more mythol like more medieval era plot. So it's like it's the Simpsons during medieval times and a little bit more vulgar because they take advantage of the Netflix like ability for Netflix to be more or less censored. I'm just a big fan of Matt Groening projects works. But to be honest, I'm a bigger fan of Futurama than The Simpsons. It's just that The Simpsons has been running for so long that everybody knows The Simpsons. But I would generally go, my number seven would be Disenchantment, because it has enough like fantasy story plot, but at the same time, it also has that, like, it parodies modern day technology at the same time. It's like medieval Futurama. That's probably the best way to describe it. Yeah, so my number seven would be Disenchantment. I think that's pretty much it for me. Are you there, Jude?
Disenchanted, yeah. Okay, it's a really great Matt Groening show, and yeah, it's a nice break. It's a nice new project from him. It's different, it's different in a way. It's he took us in. He took us in, watching probably America's Most Famous Family back then, The Simpsons, and you go into the future with Futurama, and
Now you
now
go
you
all
get
the
the
way back.
fantasy series. Yeah, all the way back into a fan high basically high fantasy comedy in a
Medieval,
way.
yeah. And I
Yeah,
mean,
it's
like,
really
there's a
fun.
possible hint that there was construction in one of the images of the show, which had the Planet Express building from Futurama. Potentially the Planet Express building. We don't know if it is the Planet Express building, but it could be them. It could be. We don't know. So I guess we can do our bonus recommendations. Do you have any bonus recommendations?
Well,
Like
we talked about a bit of Fire Saga a while ago, so that was supposed to be my bonus recommendation. But from the top of my head, I think I can recommend a few things.
Yeah, let's do like last two.
Last two maybe. Wait. I need a few moments. We have anime, we have movies.
We have documentary.
We have documentaries. We actually have a good lineup. If we're gonna talk about local movies, which is another honorable mention, being a student of history, General Luna and Goyo are two movies that I would really recommend. It's
Excellent movies.
It's a historical film that also takes that also adds a bit of social commentary to current events as well.
Yeah,
Like
that's true.
it helps you understand the past while also helping you get a grasp of how it's affecting the present and what's
That's
happening in
right.
the present, you know, gives you a bigger consciousness of what's happening around the country. And it's a really great really it's of course, you know, not all historic there has never been a 100% historically accurate film.
Of course not. Of course.
But
It's very difficult to do.
General Luna and Goyo really depict some of the most important historical events in the Philippines really well. Like Battle of Tirad Pass was well done. A lot of the battles in General Luna were pretty well made. You know, it shows you the struggles of the Filipino Revolutionary for Army. You know, it shows you the struggle, how they had to take on the Spanish and then take on the Americans after. It's a really great show. It's a really great set of pair of movies that, you know, it's heavy. It hits hard, especially Goyo. Goyo hits harder for me emotionally and consciously than General Luna. General Luna is more of an action-packed show that has a really powerful, one of the most powerful endings in Filipino cinema. But Goyo is like the message just hits you, strikes you, punches you all throughout, and it's
Pretty
really an
much,
excellent set of films. And I think since those are two recommendations, I'm done with mine.
All right, so I guess I don't have any more recommendations left. I guess that's pretty much it for our this episode of the Geeky Ones. So those were our Netflix recommendations.
You can also check our website, thegeekyones.com. You can just search Google. You can find most of our platforms, which is awesome. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram. We're pretty active on both platforms. Twitter, we're active, especially if you're looking for live updates on New Japan Pro Wrestling. We usually put our live tweets there. For Facebook, we put our live episodes here. That's why you can see us most of the time every week right now on Saturdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Depends on the time that we post. This live format has been really interesting because, you know, we get to interact with you guys on the fly. We get to see your comments. You know, we get to have a bit more, you know, color, to add more color to our discussions every time, and it's really fun. And you can all and our Instagram is filled with a lot of assorted content, like basically just all out that
Geeky,
we'd like to quote. Yeah, everything geeky under the sun. So. And also, one of the best things about on Facebook is that you can see our previous episodes on our Facebook page. You can also download and listen our audio versions on Spotify, which is awesome. If you missed this out, if you missed this out, our live episode, you can always catch up. You can always view it on our page, and then, you know, you get the same thing. Yeah,
that's
that's
pretty
it
much
for
it.
the geeky ones. We'll be talking, and you know, bye guys. You know, we'll be talking about our next episode soon. We're really excited, always excited to show you more geeky content in the coming weeks. So, bye guys.
Bye.